Acts chapter 16, we'll begin at verse 1, right down to verse 15. Please follow along in your own Bible. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible, because how else would you know the truth of heaven and hell? The Bible clearly teaches of a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. People live their lives in their good times without much thought about heaven or hell, unless as a joke or a curse or an anger, telling someone to go to. The pagan religions had confused notions about life after death. The Egyptians seemed to live to do little else than prepare for death. They were neurotic about their place beyond this life. Cults deny that there is eternal perdition, a place of torment and suffering. They want to peddle a false message of love and universal bliss for all, that they may more easily draw people into their ranks. So do liberals. They jettison any notion of a place of suffering or separation from God by harping on the one ministerial string that God is only love, and a good God would never punish souls in eternity. They sell out the truth, and then they sell a false bill of goods, preaching lies. But they are apostates who have turned away from the truth of the Bible. Biblical Christianity from the first century until the present has consistently taught What the Bible itself is very clear, that there is a place of punishment for the wicked. The doctrine is based on these facts. The Bible consistently warns people to flee from the wrath to come. The Bible is a revelation of God's dealings with men in this world and the next. It speaks of a judgment day at which all men will stand to give account of themselves in a fully conscious state. Then the books will be opened and men will be judged according to their words and deeds. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the great teacher of all Christians, he, above all teachers, taught the doctrine of hellfire for the wicked. As he ministered to multitudes at a time, he spoke more about the fires of hell than the glories of heaven. He pulled no punches about hell's reality, not only using terms of separation, eternal destruction, Hades, the word that's translated hell in our English Bibles. He went on to describe the separation of men from God being cast into outer darkness. He spoke of their torment in a place where the worm dieth not, and he described hell as a place of fire that does not go out. Then, the nature of God demands eternal punishment. God is love, and that is wonderfully true. But God is also life, light, a consuming fire, and inflexibly holy in his justice. He is so holy that he spared not the holy angels that sinned even in heaven. He is so holy that he spared not the world in Noah's day, but judged it by water. He is so holy that he spared not Sodom and Gomorrah, but wiped it off the face of the earth in a fiery judgment. Then the greatest demonstration of God's wrath upon all sin and sinners is that he spared not his own Son, his lovely, sinless, holy, and well-beloved Son, when he took the sins of his people, came under the wrath of his Father. While hanging in agony upon the cross, Jesus knew hell was real, for he came to bear hell for all his people, and on the cross, that's exactly what he did. During those 3 hours of darkness, when the cross was hidden from man's view, God laid on his Son the full payment for sin, until Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was then that Jesus was bearing hell for his people. It was then that all the debt of sin was paid in full through the satisfaction of Christ, making payment to the justice of God. It took an infinite person to offer an infinite atonement, to pay off an infinite debt due to sin. If there is no hell, and therefore no wrath of God upon sinners beyond this life, then the death of Christ on the cross, bearing the eternal wrath of God, was a travesty of justice. The sufferings of Christ, especially his spiritual sufferings, make absolutely no sense if God does not judge sin eternally. Sinner, you must think about these things. You might joke about hell and make it a plaything among ungodly friends, but hell is real. Hell is the fate of the wicked. For this reason, the Lord Jesus and his apostles went forth preaching the good news of the gospel. That good news was that Christ paid the debt of sin so that we will never be in hell. There is no wrath for the blood-washed sinner who is covered in Jesus' atonement. If there is no hell, it would hardly be good news, for then souls would die as a dog with no future existence. But annihilation is not a good news story. It is a lie. So it is time to awaken up to flee from the wrath to come. It's time to get your Bible and read these things for yourself. My Bible reading challenge still stands. I say again that in John's Gospel, you will get the narrative of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And in the book of Romans, you will get the full explanation of what Christ did for sinners. It will introduce you to God's wrath upon all men. You will find that in Romans chapter 1. The good news of the gospel of complete deliverance from sin and hell, which is the subject of Romans 2, 3, 4, and 5, is based on the fact that God is presently filled with wrath against all ungodliness. That's the message of the book of Romans. And so it is time to read your Bible and see these things for yourself. Get your gospel firsthand right from the pages of the Bible. And so my challenge is that you take a month, read all of John's gospel, and read the book of Romans. Read it carefully and prayerfully, and surely God will speak to you. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us, and I hope that you'll stay tuned as we turn now to the lady with the gospel. Acts chapter 16. This is the message on Lydia.
16 again, and verse 14. You'll notice that this new life, this miracle in her heart, it did something to her. It changed her. It made her different from all the other women that were there at the riverside. We are told that her heart was opened, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. There was Paul preaching to the ladies. One of the most fearful things I've ever done is preach to a ladies' group. Sometimes happens at our weeks of prayer and presbytery meetings. While the men are ministered to, one of the ministers get called over to preach to the ladies. And you need to have a very special message and have it very carefully worded because ladies might either get excited or get offended. And I'm sure Paul was careful in what he preached. And this woman, Lydia, as she heard the message, she not only heard with her outer ears, but in her heart she responded, and she attended unto the things. See, that's like the man who built his house on the rock. Jesus said it's not hearers, but it's doers of his word that enter into eternal life. It is those that actually build on the Lord Jesus that are saved. And this woman, Lydia, was so moved. I wonder, is the Word of God controlling your life? Is that the foundation of your faith? Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not merely the whims of your own thinking. Faith is based on facts. Facts that God sent his Son. Facts that Jesus lived the life you should have lived, a perfect life, a sinless life. Facts that Jesus shed his blood to wash away sin. He made atonement between him and God, and he has opened a way for sinners to be accepted by God. And your faith is to be built on that solid, sure foundation. And this woman gave attention to the things that were spoken by Paul. Now, you may have heard them, but have you given attention? Now, attention is more than just opening your ears as wide as possible. Attention is actually entering in, believing, receiving the Lord Jesus into your heart and into your soul. Now, this was a wonderful miracle. And you'll notice that it extended to her family and to her household. This miracle of opening her heart. And you'll see there that when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Now, you'll see that she brought the gospel home. Now, I wonder, was home away back in Thyatira, or did she have some accommodation in Philippi? But she brought the gospel home. And you will read that her household were also baptized. And here begins the debate. Was this credo baptism for believers? Or was it possibly even infant baptism for children? And you can debate that till the cows come home. But the one thing that is sure, Lydia gave full attention to what Paul preached. She was not just hanging on words. She was going to be a disciple of Christ in her own heart, in her own life, in her home, and wherever she would go. And there is the amazing miracle of this conversion. Her heart was opened. Her life was changed. And I am so glad today that I preach a gospel that is real, that it not only gives lip profession, but it changes lives. It changes homes. Your home will be very different when Jesus is in your heart. He will be in your home too. The conversation in your home will be different. The things you love and desire will be different. And that brings us to the measure of an open heart. And I'll just really list them here. It can be measured by her response to the scriptures. She gave attention to the things that Paul preached. And you can see him there with the Word of God, and he's expounding the book. And I remember a Bible preacher that always impresses me to this day, and he would take his Bible, and he would take his finger, and he would put his finger on the text, and he would read it, and he would expound it, and he would preach it, and he would hold up the Bible, and you left that meeting knowing that that message came not out of his own thinking, but right out of the book itself. And I'm sure that's how Lydia felt, that this man is not just here teaching his own ideas. He's here to tell us what the scriptures mean and how we can live a new life through the Lord Jesus. Measured by her public profession of baptism. Now, usually in churches today, baptisms are a kind of a friendly affair. You invite your family and friends and all who would support you. But to be baptized in Macedonia, in Philippi, as the first person ever to claim to be a Christian, that must have been newsworthy. You could imagine the heading on the Philippi Times, Lydia to be baptized. She is giving up her old religion. She has come to a new religion. She is now a Christ one, a Christian. And when she was baptized, it would have been the talk of the town. And many might have watched from a distance. She went through with God, and it was measurable by her baptism. It's also measurable by her desire to be faithful. If you look at verse 15, she said, when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful. Now, she didn't judge herself. She didn't say, well, I think I am, but I want you, Paul, to tell me if I'm doing the right things as a new Christian. And she wanted to be found faithful. And then she opened up her home, but she didn't want to do it if it would cause a problem for Paul and other Christians to come into her home. You know, there are homes that if I was to go into, I would have to more or less tolerate and commend how they live. The beer might be flowing, the television might be roaring, the obscenities of Hollywood might be shown. And if I was to sit through that, it would get the reputation of one who enjoyed those things. But this woman, Lydia, wanted her home to be right, and that she was found faithful, godly, Christ-honoring, and that Paul could go to her home and others without fear of testimony. That is measurable. That is a phenomenal mark of her new found faith. She opened her home to the gospel. Again, I haven't worked out of my mind where this home was located, but it must have been a large accommodation, because she was willing to feed and to be a hostess to many that were traveling, like Paul himself, and to use her home for the gospel. That's what happens when you get a new heart. You don't want to just be greedy. You want to be gospel-minded and have a part in the ministry and caring of taking the gospel forth. This was the new life of Lydia. It was certainly the mark of a true, genuine conversion. Let this apply to you today, and let it be true in your life. Is it possible to resist the call of God to your soul? Is it possible for your heart to be closed? The opposite to open is closed. A closed heart. A hardened heart that says, no way. And so there's a battle in your heart. Will I become a Christian? Will I be like Lydia and open my heart to all that the Bible teaches? All that is going to be required of me to live a godly Christian life? Well, as that battle rages in your heart, let me plead with you to settle the account today. The Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with men. There are people who have heard the gospel, and their hearts are more adamant, flint-like, hardened than ever before. And now when they hear the gospel, they have no interest. The Spirit of God is not striving. If He strives with you today and you can hear the internal call and you know it's you the Lord is speaking to, I beg with you to give your heart to the Lord Jesus today, not tomorrow. There is no promise for tomorrow. But now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of hope for heaven. You can be saved now, today. Will you? I pray that the Lord will indeed open your heart and that you will be saved. If I can be of any guidance, any help in your desire to be saved, please don't go away today. Just stay in your seat while others leave. I'll be glad to open the Bible and if I can be of any further help. Or you can just say, Lord, save me now. And He'll hear the cry of your heart. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for this time in Your Word, and for this wonderful, wonderful account of the conversion of Lydia. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you do open hearts, that you're doing it in 2020, that you are turning the hearts of men and women from the world to faith in Jesus. And I pray today for that miracle of faith and trust in the Savior. Lord, we pray for some dear woman, some girl, or man or boy. Lord, be pleased to call them today and save their souls. We ask that you will use your word and glorify your name. Give us your presence throughout this Lord's day. Dismiss us with your blessing. May we know your will and do it with all our hearts. And may the Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people now and evermore.
Well, I think you will agree that Lydia is a grand model for the new convert. And may there be a true interest in your heart to be a part of the gospel. You'd only want the gospel to save you by the skin of your teeth and get you into heaven by some means, but rather you want to let your life shine for the Lord Jesus. How can you do that in real terms? Well, what about your home? Is it open to the work of the gospel? What about your wallet? Is it open to the work of the gospel? Or are you spending all your discretionary income on frivolous things while the cause of Christ is neglected? These are real practical things, and they are a measure of who we are and what we do with our resources. But above all, give your heart to the Lord. He doesn't want your money without your heart, and he doesn't want your time without your heart. He wants you to give yourself in complete surrender at the feet of Jesus. And we know that that's what Lydia did, that she was willing to turn her life all over to the Lord. Now, if I can be of any personal help to you in your search to know the Lord and to be saved, I'm here to serve you. And I want you to give me a phone call. Just get in touch. My number is 604-897-2040. And I will be glad to open the Bible, pray with you, and to encourage you to seek the Lord and know his so great salvation. And so thank you for listening to the broadcast today and for being a part of Let the Bible Speak. Remember that you can go to our website for all the details to hear this message again, or for articles, for magazines, you can go to the website, www.ltbs.ca. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us on the program today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.